I work with the Cancer Surveillance Branch at CDC in the National Program of Cancer Registries. And I just wanted to give you a little bit of background of why are we doing all of this, or why is this important to public health. So just real briefly, you can see that this is sort of a picture of what cancer surveillance looks like. The National Program of Cancer Registries funds 48 central cancer registry programs, 45 states, and then two territories in DC. And then there are several others funded by NCI or jointly by both. So why are we collecting these data? Why are these data important to us? Well, cancer surveillance, of course, has many different goals here, and including clinical epidemiologic and health services research, guiding planning and evaluation of cancer control, help set priorities for allocating health resources. And I'm not going to spend much time on that, because I think we all mostly know what surveillance is about here. So as Mary kind of talked about, why is pathology reporting so important for cancer registries? Well, right now, over 90% of cancer diagnoses rely on pathology reports. So, however, there are an increasing number of cancers that are diagnosed in settings other than hospitals, and so we are looking at, you know, other ways that we will be collecting the data in the future. But this does also mean that there are more pathology reports coming from independent path labs. They may be even more likely to be paper-based, more difficult to obtain by the central registries, and again, inconsistent reporting by whoever, the physician's office or the laboratory. So as Mary already talked about, cancer registries manually extract data and then do coding from the narrative pathology reports. So why is electronic pathology reporting so important? Well, of course, this will enable them to collect the data in a more standardized way. It is very resource intensive to do this manual extraction, of course time consuming, and it leads to more risk of error in transcription. Electronic checklists provide an automated process for doing the extraction and the coding. And we use vocabulary standards. It enables us to do some mapping of the data items to some of the elements that are collected in the registries. And, of course, this can lead to improved cancer surveillance because of improved timeliness, accuracy, and completeness of data. So public health in general can benefit. Other public health surveillance systems can benefit from this process of developing structured reporting templates to capture clinical or laboratory data where they may currently not have a structured process at all. And using an electronic format for capturing and transmitting the data in these structured formats can also aid other programs. And of course, the use of standards for interoperability are some methods that, you know, we can share. So again, as Mary mentioned, the PERT uses widely accepted data and technical standards and protocols, XML, HL7, SNOMED, CT, and those aren't, there are others. So that are used by national health IT initiatives. So again, our methodologies are easily transported to other public health areas. Some of the lessons that have been learned in this process, and I think, you know, this is probably not new to most folks, but it's always good to just keep remembering this. Developing these structured report formats has been a very collaborative, multidisciplinary process. We have public health subject matter experts, cancer tumor registrars that understand the cancer surveillance world. We have the end users of the actual checklist, meaning the pathologists. It's critical that they're involved since they're the ones that are actually using the forms. We have standard setting organizations involved, and of course, we have IT and informatics professionals as well. So one other thing is that, and you can see as Mary talked about, this is, it's just not possible in this, in the way the CAP does this process. But in an ideal world, I think, you know, developing the paper, or not even developing paper at all, going straight to electronic, but if you have to develop paper, develop it with the electronic format in mind, because there definitely has been some need to do retrofitting of these to develop these electronic checklists. And Mary Schroeder showed you some examples. When you have this paper checklist format, and then you need to develop something that's computer readable, it doesn't necessarily make sense in the same way. So they've had to actually go back to the CAP committees and say, well, is it okay if we do this electronic format and we ask the question in this way, which is a little bit different than the way you put it, because that's just not translatable to the computer. You know, when you ask for a check, all that apply, but then you actually ask another, like two, like a double-barreled question or something like that. So, you know, in an ideal world, develop the paper with the electronic in mind. And then that diagram that Mary showed you at the end, which I'm actually going to show you again, has been a real important process, and it didn't start out this way, but separating the functions into this modular approach allows for better interoperability and scalability. And so again, you know, like for example, taking the SNOMED coding out of the actual electronic checklist will enable you to do separate versioning if the SNOMED codes change but the checklist didn't change. By having them separate, you can make changes much more easily. And so Mary talked a little bit about next steps, but I'm just going to finish with a real quick few next steps as well. So Mary mentioned that there is work going on to do the SNOMED encoding, and that will probably be one of those next, part of the next release is to have that separate but applicable SNOMED coding piece. The next one, so we've got a team that is developing mapping, as I mentioned earlier, from the checklist to some of the needs of the cancer, some of the data terminologies in the cancer registries. We've got some work that has been being done and will continue, we'll pick up again a little bit later, to develop some user interface prototypes or that then can be defined as turned into specifications for vendors to create the data entry layouts. And lastly, we've got a collaborative effort going on with Canada and the U.S. through some of these organizations that Mary talked about to develop the transport format for the synoptic reports. And that first, we might look at maybe HL7 version 2, but you can see that there's all kinds of opportunities here. And one thing that I also wanted to mention is that our group, National Program of Cancer Registries, has collaborated with IHE to develop a profile reporting for reporting anatomic pathology reports to registries. So currently, this uses that text-based format, the traditional pathology format. But as we move forward and we develop this HL7 format for transport, we can also expand the IHE profile to be able to do the synoptic reporting there. And the reason I mentioned, one of the reasons I mentioned that is because we actually have a scenario demo downstairs in the IHE showcase, and that's integrating the healthcare enterprise for those of you that aren't familiar with it. So we're actually demonstrating that ability to transport the text-based pathology report from the from a pathology laboratory to the Central Cancer Registry. And so we hope that you can all come down and take a look at our demo, which is at 11:30 this morning. I think we have another one this afternoon, but and that's all I have. And again, our contact information. Thank you.
I mean, do we have any questions regarding Mary's presentation and Wendy's? We'll take those now.
Yep, go ahead. The public health document architecture. Is that like a subset of a CDA or something, or is that something else? I'm not sure that I'm familiar. It sounds vaguely familiar, but. And do you know who it's coming from? Because we can look into it. Oh, it's out of HL7. I mean, I didn't know who at CDC was. Which HL7 group? Do you know? Is it structured?
Yeah, HL7 version 3 has a particular document architecture, like you might be talking about that.
Well, maybe we can, I can get some contact info from you afterwards as to who gave it or what the presentation was. Thanks. Any other? Okay.
Thank you.